Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
You As we come to the second C in the word church, it's about connecting in a smaller group. This band is a perfect example. They lean in on one another. They celebrate with one another. They are known individually as a part of a community. And we want you to hear and think about your connection into a smaller group here at Resurrection. These are two students sharing about their connection. Let's watch.
A while ago, I signed up to be on a ministry team, and that kind of led into being on the drama team. And I just love to act. I love theater. And so being on the drama team is kind of easy for me. I love doing it. Being on the drama team or any ministry team helps me discover what gifts God gave me. And for me to use that in time of worship with my friends, that is just so cool to me.
Being in a small group has helped me just to be able to connect with other people and ask the hard questions that I wouldn't have been able to figure out by myself. And I've been able to really take a lot of leaps in my faith just through all the things that we've studied and all the questions we've asked. I think high school and junior high would have been a lot harder if I wouldn't have been in a small group, just because I know that every Sunday night I could come and, you know, you bring to the table your problems and your issues and you talk them out, and you know that you have other people supporting you and praying for you and just kind of riding that life journey with you.
I hope you'll be challenged to connect in a smaller group here at Resurrection or in another faith community. But this is vital to our faith. As we move on again, I just want to introduce myself. I'm the director of student ministries here at Resurrection. And we call our student ministries Res Life, seeking to live out a resurrected life in Jesus Christ. The ministry is from 6th through 12th grade students, middle school and high school students. And our mission is to build a Christian community where non-religious and nominally religious teenagers are becoming deeply committed Christians. About 8 days ago on Friday morning, I came into work and I was coming toward the door and I looked up and I saw the same thing that you have all seen for the last 8 or 9 days. My big head. Now, I'm not sure where you work, but I'm not accustomed to coming to work and seeing my head on the window. That's when the pressure really began to build for this weekend. It was built even more when the flyer came out and right beside my head it said, one of the top 20 youth ministers in the country. And I'm so thankful they didn't put my ranking in there. I feel it's like, kind of like when you buy a new car, the second you drive it off the lot, the depreciation begins. And I felt like that ranking. And then 2 weeks ago, of course, Adam stands before you all and shares my number. I'm not going to repeat it. When that number came out, there were many students every week in Student Center. And we would come to that really deep time in the worship, you know, where all of us ministers hope to orchestrate the Holy Spirit's movement. And it's this serious moment. And there's kids with their fingers holding up the number trying to keep me off track. But this is what happened that was so great. I believe God sent a prophet over in the East Building just a few days after that first day I came in. And this is what I saw. Ah, I love teenagers. This is what reminded me of why I love working with the next generation. And there was this moment, this prophet came, I'm sure it was one of our deeply spiritual teenagers, and just eased and reminded me to be humble, that we are all but humble humans before an almighty, powerful God who comes to meet us personally, and that I not need to please all but please God today and God alone. Today I want to share with you three things. I hope to introduce to you my story, for those of you that don't know me, and a connection to my calling, give you a little insight into ministry with the next generation and a connection to our community, and remind each of us, God's church, of God's story and Jesus' command on our lives as the church, collectively, the body of Christ. I was in high school, and I was dragged to church every week, and my opinion of church was stay awake during the sermon. Until a pastor came into town, he moved into our church and I was dragged over to help him move in. I did everything I could to stay outside of the carport and shoot basketball. This pastor stopped moving boxes and he walked over. He introduced his name to me. He said, "Hi, I'm Tom Weber. Let me play with you." He played basketball with me for for probably 5 minutes, and it was the most prophetic moment I had experienced in my life. I had immediate respect for this man, that he would meet me where I was. Up until that time, all I saw were pastors up in these robes, and they were up high, and they were far from me, and they were godly people, and I was but a sinner, worthless. And he met me where I was, and he befriended me, and over the next 2 years, he really became my mentor. He would guide me. He was there when I had hard questions, and he would say to me sometimes, you know what, Jason, I don't know. And I thought that took a lot of guts for a leader of faith to say, you know what, I don't know. Let's journey together about that. He encouraged me to be a summer camp counselor at the Methodist youth camp there in Florida. And he baited me. He said, hey, Jason, if you go to this camp and you serve, you're going to get to be a lifeguard. I said, oh, man, I'm in. That's a pretty big job. I mean, I was 16 years old. I got to be a lifeguard, and that's a pretty big job anywhere you are. But then he said, Jason, not only are you going to get to be a lifeguard, you're going to get to meet girls. And that sold it for me. I did get to become a lifeguard, and I found a lot of worth in that and a feeling of service to others, which I thought was very, very powerful, very esteem building. And I did meet a girl. I met my wife. On picture, you're going to see my wife, Charm, and our daughter, Haley. She is 16 months old. And Charm and I served at that camp, and it was a life-changing moment for me. But it wasn't just being a lifeguard. It wasn't just meeting my wife. It was meeting Jesus in a new place, in a new space for me. Jesus came in and absolutely wrecked me, turned me upside down, and I didn't even yet realize it. You see, at the summer camp, that was often a place churches would come seeking youth ministers because they wanted to recreate that camp experience in the local church, and I got offered a job as a youth minister. I was a struggling college student, not knowing what to do. I was actually going to start veterinary school the next semester, and they offered me a job. I said, I'll do this for a little while. Here I am 16 years later. I took the job, and I thought all I needed to do was recreate camp. I can play foursquare. I can play the guitar. Every once in a while, I'll even share something about the Bible. That was my view of youth ministry. So I went, and I began to serve in this church. And I've got to tell you, I didn't like the church. My first impression of the church was not good. I found it to be one of the most politically divisive places I'd ever been involved in. The sacred cows around this place were huge. And I really felt like the church was lazy. I felt like the church had this attitude, me as well, I was judging the church, but this church had this attitude of just, we have the secret to eternal life, and you may be blessed enough to come into our space and experience it. And I remember thinking, I want out. If this is what church is, I want out. At the time, I thought it was absolutely my calling to simply walk the earth seeking God and sharing Jesus. And I told this to my senior pastor. And he said, okay, but you have some commitments here you need to fulfill. And he challenged me. And I fulfilled that commitment by leading a group of upperclassmen high school students on a mission trip. It was life-forming for me, and it was more revealing for me. This mission experience was to North Carolina, where we came in and we did roofing and housing. In neighborhoods that could not afford it and had no one to lean in on but the church. And it was very just moving as you met these families and interacted with them through the week, and the students came together as a team. And you know, by the third day, you're exhausted. And if you've never gone on a mission experience, you have to go. It will absolutely change your life. And we were exhausted, but it was a good exhaustion. You know that good exhaustion where you feel like, I served God today. I was Jesus' hands and feet. And that night, as usually happens on about the third day of a youth trip, the youth were at odds. The boys were grating on the girls were reacting to the boys, and the girls came to me in tears. And they were just like, you've got to fix this. And I said, okay, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll begin kind of our worship vesper for the night, and we'll come together in a classroom. We were sleeping on a church floor, and we came together in that classroom and sat in a circle, and we pulled out the guitars, and we lit the candles, and we began what I hope would be a spiritual experience. And it began by lots of yelling. Lots of yelling and pointing and blame and look what you did, as the students just ripped into one another. And I just kind of sat, and this is how it began. Now, over time, all of that yelling and all of that pointing and all of that blaming began to move to tears. Tears and frustration, which moved into sharing of life. These young people came together as a community, and they began to share the struggles they were having with their friends, struggles in their relationships, struggles with their home life or their parents, struggles about thinking of the pressure of what they're going to be in life. It was this amazing movement. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit. And it was, I've been in very powerful worship experiences before. I mean, I'd heard preachers bring the word of the Bible to life for me, but I had never sat in a small room in a small group and watched the Spirit move so vividly. It was powerful. And I felt like I got to be a part of this story. I mean, it was like an honor. It was like I was sitting at the foot of God in this moment where the Spirit just moved through these young people's souls. And these tears began to move to laughter. And that laughter moved to an intense worship experience that started at 9 p.m. and it was 4 a.m. before we closed. I felt like I couldn't stop it. I mean, God was moving. And they gave us some leeway in the morning for our work site once I explained what had happened to our group that night. In our closing prayer that must have lasted 45 minutes going around the circle, it was just an intense moment. And in our closing prayer, I said aloud, God, I submit myself to this calling, to this ministry, in whatever capacity you would have me be. If that's youth ministry, whatever it is, Lord, I give my life to you in ministry. One student caught it. I mean, I think I'd said this many times out loud, but it was like my moment of realization. And her name was Kelly. Kelly came up to me afterwards and said, Jason, I heard what you said in our prayer. I don't get it. You are our youth minister. What do you mean? And I said, yeah. I said, I was doing it, but I didn't realize that I was really fulfilling God's calling in my life. I didn't realize that I was in ministry. I was just sort of doing a job for God, and that's good, right? This was the moment of revealing for me where Jesus showed me my calling. It was a connection, a moment that, well, it challenged me to begin investing in God. I wanted to be a part of that story. I wanted to stay in God's story every day, hoping that the young people I would interact with would catch a glimpse of it and see a glimpse like I saw the story of God. A sense of church began to overcome us. This is God's community. God's community. Even today, as we were planning this thematic of this service, the kids wanted you to know. It's not just about youth group or being young. It's about all of us being the church. The church equals life. And it really is about a connection to a community. Two students are going to share some testimony with you now that will give you a sense of how they see community. One of these students, it's born out of an incident that happened this summer at camp. Whenever you take lots of kids places, there's always lots of incidences. You pray for safety. Thankfully, everything was well. But this was one student's reaction, and then you'll hear another student's reaction to the importance of leaders in their life. Let's listen.
While I was at camp, I actually experienced an event where one of my friends was hurt, who was in the same cabin as me, and she's a pretty close friend of mine. So while she was at the pool, my friends and I were at the snack shop and we were just eating and having a good time. And all of a sudden on the intercom came this code 1 at the pool. And we were just all like, oh my gosh, someone's hurt, that's horrible. And we were just thinking we should go check it out. And then we heard them come back on the intercom and call our cabin leaders. So we were like, we should go check that out because it's probably one of our closest friends. We were all just praying and praying because she was a really nice girl and we didn't want her hurt at all. When we found out that she was okay and she was walking towards us with a big smile, we were really happy. And it was just a miracle moment for us because, I mean, someone falling off the slide and falling on their back and just being okay, we were just like, wow, she was just really in God's hands.
God really connects with me through the leaders, just when they talk to me and when I have questions, and I can ask them to pray with me and they'll just pray over me, and I really feel blessed by them. And just, you get to walk around and just have a really deep conversation with your leaders and just be like you can trust them with anything and you can talk to them.
Powerful testimony of the importance of belonging. Kids need to belong. They want to belong. It really isn't just kids. We all want to belong, don't we? We're all seeking for a place that we're welcomed into, a place we identify with, a group that cares about us, a community that we want to connect to. You heard the importance. This young lady was fine, and it was so neat. I got to be there. She walked toward her cabin mates, and they surrounded her with love and care. And she felt the love of God through community. You also heard Grace talk about the importance of leaders, the importance of caring adults who will walk alongside youth and not be afraid to say, I don't have all the answers, but I love God and I love you and I want to be here for you. We all need to belong. A couple of the books I've been reading speak to this and speak to the emerging generation's idea of church, some of the stereotypes that are existing there in the next generation. Dan Kimball, who's considered one of the leaders of next generation thinking, in his most recent book called They Like Jesus, But Not the Church, insights from an emerging generation. Dan is a pastor in California, and he says this in his book, we need to understand the difference between belonging then believing, and believing then belonging. We need to understand that in most cases in our emerging culture, belonging precedes believing. In today's culture, people don't come to have trust and understanding until they feel they belong. The Spirit moves in them, bringing them to a point of belief. Now, this rings true for me. I have a story to share with you after 9/11. The church I was serving at the time, like many churches, held a prayer vigil. 9/11, of course, the tragedy of that day happened on a Tuesday morning, and that Thursday night following, our church was packed. And it was a community moment, a time of crisis and tragedy, where everyone came together to be in worship. I was in that service and then had to leave early to set up something up in the other building where our youth ministry was. And I received a call from one of our leaders. And he said to me, Jason, there are a few girls here, they have questions. They've stayed after the service. I said, oh, okay, I'm on my way back over. And he said, oh, Jason, they have pink hair. I said, okay. I'm on my way. Pink hair emergency. So I walk into the sanctuary. These three young ladies who were very expressive and part of our young community there, I came in. I didn't recognize them. I sat down with them and I said, you know, hi, I'm Jason Gant. I'm so glad you're here. I just want to welcome you in this space. This is a safe place. We love you. I'm so glad you're here. What brought you here tonight? They're like, well, this is our church. And that hit me. I mean, it hit me hard. I was so excited. You know, they were seeking God. They were seeking community. And I said, well, do you come to worship? You know, which service? They're like, no. I said, do you come to youth group? No. Do you come to Sunday school? Or are you in a small group? No. I listed all of the institutional boxes that we have boxed church to be, right? You know what they said to me? They said, no, we come every month to the coffee house outreach. Every month we had a few bands that would bring in students and teenagers that may not have been a part of the church community. We would intentionally book positive secular bands that might draw in young people. And they came every month. They knew who I was. And they said, that's why we're here. This is our church. And we need answers. We're seeking hope. We spoke with one another for about 2 hours. And that night, in that sacred moment of church, those young ladies gave their life to Christ. And it was powerful. And I was so honored to be at the foot of God working, not just through the young people, but through the rest of our church who were walking out of that sanctuary in such a time of crisis, looking at these young girls and thinking, gosh, I wonder who they are. I wonder why they're here. Pretty powerful moment about belonging. Dan's book, he brings out a few stereotypes of how emerging and young and next generations think about the church. The church is an organized religion with a political agenda. And Dan reminds us, the church is an organized community with a heart to serve others. Another one Dan brings out, the church is judgmental and negative. And Dan reminds us, the church is to be a positive agent of change, loving others as Jesus would. These speak to me, I know they speak to you. Another book I've been reading is by local guy Mike King. Some of you know Mike. He's one of the guiding pastors at Jacob's Well in downtown Kansas City. He is the president of Youth Front, an organization that we partner with in our camping ministries. Mike has a new book out called Presence-Centered Youth Ministry, Guiding Students into Spiritual Formation. Mike says this, the church did a poor job of storytelling in the 20th century so that we find ourselves depending on other outlets, such as movies, for an intense encounter with a compelling story. Christians should be storytellers who constantly weave their individual stories into the story of God and his people. While emphasizing the importance of the meta-narrative, the all-encompassing story, we can't discount the power of the individual and community stories we discover along the way. These stories impact the way people find their connection to this meta-narrative. Through these connections, our youth will learn to see a new way, a kingdom of God way. We must tell stories. We must help our youth tell stories. We must celebrate our stories. This brings me today to a story from Jesus, a parable. Parables are, to me, one of the most moving pieces of Scripture. Every time I look at the parables from Jesus, I am moved. My hope is that today you'll be moved as well, and maybe hear this in a new way if this is a familiar parable to you. But as Jesus tells us this story, there is immense truth in it. It's the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Hear these words of Jesus. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once. He put his money to work and he gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out. I hid your talent in the ground. Here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from me and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will be given an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Challenging words, but reminding me of what the church is to be. Where are you investing your talents? I invested my talent, I invested myself into God's story. What are you doing with your talents? We often think of talents and money as the literal translation. It's also our time. It's our priorities. It's our efforts. It's all that we are, and how are we investing in the next generation? And maybe your call is not youth ministry. I would challenge you to think that it might be, but maybe it's not. But every one of us has the responsibility of responding to, setting example for, mentoring the generation behind us. We're all called to invest in the life of the next generation. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, he said, "Every talent may be of use in the kingdom of God if joined with the knowledge of the scriptures and the fervor of spirit, the passion of spirit." I began investing in Jesus, and Jesus has called me into some crazy things. Jesus has called me to walk into a party at 2 a.m., and move students out of that life because of abusive substance. God has called me to answer the doorbell in the middle of the night of a young student who made a sexual mistake. God has called me to approach a student who was dealing drugs, even in my own youth group, to approach his family and together sign a prayer covenant on the table of our sanctuary at this church. He's 24 now. He sent me an email last year and said, "Jason, I've kept that covenant with God." God has called me in some crazy stuff. Jesus has called me to help people understand his amazing gift and life and death and suffering for you and I, but ultimately his resurrection, his eternal kingdom. This connection with God, it comes through normal people just like you and me. You know, statistically, I can only know about 50 kids. That's why you're so important. It begins with your prayers over ministry here. It begins with your thoughts toward these students. It's not about skill. It is about will. Just like the man and the men who received those talents, where is your will? Are you hiding it? Are you digging it in the ground? Are you responding to God with your talents? I asked two students to share a testimony about how they connect with God. Let's hear these testimonies.
I really think that this summer my relationship with God has gotten better. Before I came here, I felt like I was almost sort of like slipping away from God. But when I came here, it was just like a big refresher from normal life. Because you know, here nobody's going to be all mad or mean at you, and it's just kind of great.
I came to camp, and I go to lots of camps and Surge and mission trips and stuff like that to get closer to God, because over the summer and sometimes through the school year, I just feel like I go far away from Him. And so I just need to come to camp sometimes just to get a lot closer to Him and stay with Him. We had communion, and like everybody's been saying how God's been like reaching towards them, and I haven't really felt Him with me for a while. And then just at communion, we were all sitting down and praying after we had it, and I just felt Him in my heart. Like, it was the greatest feeling in the world to have God in your heart, and you just felt Him on you and with you, and that everything would be okay because He was with you.
My hope is we'll all be challenged by these testimonies to remember and to understand what church is meant to be. It is C, it is celebrating in worship, the H, holiness of God, seeking to you understand the scriptures, being challenged to R, reach out to others, taking the next step with C and connecting in a smaller group, and then finally H, holding fast to the commands of Jesus Christ. I love His words in Matthew 18. He says, "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." I want to close by reading excerpts from a poem by a young lady. She wrote this when she was 16 a few years ago and gave this to me. And it's a prayer, a time of her speaking and becoming authentic before God. It speaks to me. My hope is it speaks to you today. It's Caroline's poem. "I don't know what to pray for. Should I ask you to make me humble? It's not that I don't see how I fail. Oh Lord, believe me, I see I've let us down. Should I request to be transparent? Holding in my flaws doesn't bring me more to you. Abba, Father, let me sit in silence listening for you as the layers of who I'm perceived to be are stripped away from my beating heart. Should I pray for clarity in what I believe? Let me not attempt to explain wonders that rest far beyond my imagination. Yet don't let me sit here in silence as opportunity knocks, then walks away because I didn't open the door to let Him in. I don't know what to pray for. Jesus, teach me to be like you, reaching down, silently standing firm on the ground, compassion, with will and focus. I belong in your hands. As a believer of what you say, give me a heart to listen with both ears turned toward you. God, I don't know what to pray for. I'm tired. Friend, I'm confused. Paint on me strokes of joy, patterns of patience, and textures of testimony. Author, write it all. Let me read with passion." May you be challenged. May you be challenged today by these testimony and these words from young people. What will you be investing? Will you invest in the life of the next generation? Let's pray together. Lord God, may we connect to your calling on our lives. You're yearning to invest in us and us in you, Lord God. Connect us to a community of faith here at Resurrection, making our story a part of your story, praying for and reaching into this next generation of world change for Jesus. May we see your heart, Jesus, your eternal kingdom, a kingdom without end, a kingdom that says, "I love you, I welcome you, I want to connect with you. Join my story." Amen.